Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, this past Sunday we celebrated the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We are coming very close now to the end of our liturgical calendar. And in fact, there are only 34 Sundays in Ordinary Time, meaning that we have but 5 weeks to go until the beginning of Advent, and of course celebrating the end of Ordinary Time. The final Sunday, the 34th, is always dedicated to the solemnity of Christ the King. Christ reigning in majesty, Christ representing his great victory over death itself and over all those things that could threaten human dignity. And of course, in these last weeks, our liturgy turns our attention more and more to the end of time and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time when the Church not only wants us to consider a little more deeply the fact that we are expecting the second coming of Christ, we are looking forward to the end of all history and to life with God for all eternity, but it also focuses our attention on a very particular part of that second coming of Jesus Christ at the end of all time. And that is, Christ will come as victor. He will come in his glory, but he will also come as judge. Now, that judgment that will accompany his second coming, it has been a source of great consideration, no little fantasy, a great deal of fear sometimes. There are many pictures drawn of this event of the Last Judgment, the most famous being the one done by Michelangelo for the wall in the Sistine Chapel. But when you consider our Lord as judge, and how, in fact, that Last Judgment will actually take place, I think we have to consider that there's not going to be a great deal of melodrama involved in it. And if there is any drama, it will be rather muted. And I doubt whether there will be any surprises. That is, we know already through the Gospels, through our life in Christ, through these centuries as a church, as a body of Christ, we know the measure with which the Lord will judge us. We know the way by which we are to consider our own life and our own character as disciples. And I suspect that on that last day, all our Lord will say to us as we stand before him is, "Thy will be done." That is, as you have chosen to live, so therefore will you be. And considering this judgment and the appearance of Christ as a judge, we have an opportunity to engage in a very deep examination of conscience. Also to reawaken our sense of the life to which our Lord has called us, a life that is filled with promise as well as filled with challenge, and a life that will, in fact, give the great happiness that it promises if we but remain faithful to what our Lord has called us to. We sometimes are called to consider our past life, to consider it in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also to remember something that occurs in the second letter of St. Peter, when the author talks about the nature of time, and he said, you have to realize that with God, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. But the author says that God has given us a gift of time, and with that gift of time, we have so many opportunities, not only to do the good, but to be, in fact, renewed, to have new beginnings, to be able to understand the God of love and the God of mercy. For God is kind and merciful. He is often described as such throughout the whole of the Bible, the New and Old Testament. But St. Peter reminds us that in this gift of time, our Lord's patience is not infinite, that there will be a time when all things will be concluded. So therefore, Peter says to us, be aware of this gift of time. Use it wisely. Allow your life to be more and more deeply a reflection of the life of Christ, because we do not want to fall into what is the sin of presumption, a presumption that no matter what we have done or what we intend to do, we're always going to be forgiven. We always will have time. There will always be that other opportunity. But as St. Paul liked to tell his followers in his letters, now is the acceptable time. Now is the time to turn to the Lord. So as we come to the end of our liturgical calendar, and the Church asks us to think very deeply and very widely on this nature of the Second Coming and upon the character of judgment, that we are always prepared not to be frightened into goodness, but to realize the profound gift of our time that God has given us, to be challenged to live it wisely and virtuously. This is why I think the Church has also asked us to meditate upon what used to be called the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. It is important for us to remember that death is the fixing of the meaning of our lives. With our death, what our life was, what it means, is fixed. But also, it is a passage into eternity. And as part of the eternity to which we will be invited, there will be no change, but there will be a continual expression and a deepening of love and glory that we will reflect from the very Godhead. So, in remembering that we shall die, that is not a call to be morbid or to be darkened in our hopes and in our thoughts, but to realize that all of us have but a particular time on this earth. It is a gift of the time, and it is given to us to be used wisely. It is given to us to prepare ourselves for an eternity in the presence of God. This is why I think the Church considers those moments before death so crucial, and the celebration of the sacraments so important at this time, so that even up to that point of death, there will always be an opportunity to experience the love of God more deeply, to make a firm purpose of amendment, to ask for the forgiveness and mercy of God. And so we celebrate those last sacraments as both a recognition of our need for the presence of Christ at this supreme moment, but also as gifts for the journey, for that final journey to eternity and to our Lord. In a sense, we might say that in the end is our beginning. That is, in the realization that we are all going to be facing these end times, both in our own personal death and also in our communal summoning on the last days. And if we understand what we are preparing for, if we understand our end, it is also our beginning. We began then to understand more clearly what is the final purpose of our lives. How are we to shape a life that is in keeping with the dignity and the purpose and the power and promise of that life? We can begin, as the psalmists say, to count our days aright, to allow every moment to be flooded with that light of Christ that will bring us not only to that moment of death in safety, but will be part of that pilgrimage beyond death into the new life of eternity. We will very shortly be celebrating two very important days that are always celebrated in the midst of fall: All Saints' Day on November the 1st and All Souls' Day on November the 2nd. This, I think, is a wonderful reminder that in all things, in our life, in our death, and in our continuance throughout history, we are part of a very large community. In the saints, we have those that already are fully in the presence of God, who are there to pray for us, to assist us, to accompany us on our earthly journey. And in All Souls Day, we remember those souls that are in that final preparation to be admitted to the very face of God. They too are a part of us. And just as the saints assist us with their prayers, we can assist the souls in purgatory with ours. But it is one deep communion, a communion of saints. It, of course, is something for another time to consider more deeply, the accurate understanding of what is heaven and what is hell. But we do know that in purgatory, which in a sense we begin here through our acts of penance and fasting and prayer, we are preparing ourselves not only spiritually but also physically, remembering that we are body and soul, for that final entrance before the face of God. For we know that there are two effects of sin. One is deeply spiritual, a separation from God. The other is temporal. How sin affects our everyday life, our outlook, our very physical being, and how, in fact, we have to attend to both of those effects of sin, to restore a broken relationship with God, and then through our penance to overcome the effects of sin on our habits, on our lives. But as we come to the end of our liturgical calendar, we also want to fix on that image of Christ as King, not in the way the world would have it, but a King who is one of love, who is one of self-giving, who exemplified this on a sacrifice of the cross and crowned with a crown of thorns. And realizing that this is the same Christ who will come again, we are filled with great hope, no little joy, but also expectation. And we pray as the early Christians prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus."
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.